Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in business and economics. This is Business Finance FIL 240 for spring semester 2026. Today, stock prices and intrinsic values. This is the last part of the chapter 9, stock valuation. And I will go back through that spreadsheet with you and bring in the last piece of it. I've made something a little easier in that spreadsheet, and I'll show it to you today. I actually made a separate worksheet just for preferred stock instead of having you do that in the constant growth dividend section. So that'll help you out a little bit. And I'll also mention a little bit, just pointing out how this will be done on a quiz and on the final exam. But then you also have a quiz today, which is on chapters 7 and 8, bonds, and on bonds and risk and return. So that'll be coming up a little later here. But for right now, we'll have a look at the numbers today, and we have another bull day. It's interesting because you had a bull day when you were with me on Monday. Then we had a hard bear day, and now we've got a bull day again. So you've got this weird kind of up and down. Like I said, it's like we say sometimes, it's not a bull or a bear market. It's a kangaroo market. It's going up and down. And right now we're having another up day, and the markets are actually quite optimistic right now. How long that'll last, we'll see. But as you can see, across the world, we got the Tokyo, the Nikkei 225, it had jumped at the beginning. It jumped by almost 3%, but then it just kind of floated there. So it got good news overnight, and so in Tokyo. And then when the bell rang on the Tokyo Exchange, it just jumped. But from there, with all that buildup of information, but then from there, there was no more good or bad information to speak of. So Tokyo just kind of floated for the rest of the day. Now, oh, you can't? Why not? Oh, sorry about that. Well, surely you can just take my word for it. I do that way too often. That's why I have someone sitting here mentioning, you know, hey, you know, you might want to let them see it. Fine. Whatever. Thank you. Anyway, Okay, let me back this down a little bit. There we go. So we got the Nikkei, had a nice day up, and so did Hong Kong. It's weird here because you had, see that drop? It just dropped off, and then it came a rally. There was a sort of a rally in the late morning, and it went back up again. Australia had a bad day, and I'm not sure what that is. I don't follow Australian economics very much, so I can't tell you what was on their minds today, but, you know, there you go. Now, in Europe, we had really a very strong day all over the place. You had Paris, Germany, and then Britain, Great Britain. They were all positive today, strong positive days. Now, the one thing that is kind of worth noting is that here in the United States, the Dow is up so far about 0.9%, and S&P is up a strong 1.5, almost 1.5%, and the NASDAQ is up about 1%, which is a little weird here because usually the NASDAQ would be, if the S&P is up, the NASDAQ should be up more, but it's not up as much, which is a little bit of an unusual configuration. But let me take you down here very quickly and look. We are getting some really welcome relief on oil prices right now because there are now, there's one thing you have to watch out for is there's a lot of oil on the high seas heading into ports. That oil is sort of keeping the price down. But once that is all processed, how much oil is going to be coming onto the high seas to get to refineries, ports and refineries? That's the question now. So we may have downward for a while, but then coming back up again. We're just going to have to see about that. But the good news is that that should not just suppress the price at the gas gasoline stations, it should keep them from going up anymore. You also might see in the next few days some relief in gas prices coming down from where they were just a week ago. So that's some good news right there. That'll help the economy too. And speaking of which, I wanted to look at something here that was, the 10-year bond. It has lost a little bit of that yield. It was up there at almost 4.40%, and it's back down to 4.32%, representing about an 8 basis point drop. That's not a spectacular drop, but we'll take anything we can get. Interest rates are higher than they were a while back, and that is going to hurt the economy, those higher interest rates, and it will keep the interest rates on things like home loans, car loans, corporate bond borrowing. It'll keep it from going up much more, but still it's not in a good place right now. The higher interest rates probably won't go down much over the next few weeks, but you notice that its yield going down means that the price of bonds is going up. The price of bonds is going up because there is more demand for bonds. There are investors who are buying bonds, but obviously they're buying stocks too, if you look at these here. So you're seeing some more of that money going back into the market for now. How long it'll stay going that way, hard to say. But we've got a sector map which is almost all green, which means that this isn't just a sector rally. This is a broad-based rally. You see all stocks in different industries coming alive again. And just looking around a little bit at some stocks right now, looking on the consumer side, maybe a stock like Target. Target is up today. It's not up a lot, but if we look here, what's the beta? Well, Target has a beta above 1, so it should be rallying pretty strongly, and it's not really. You notice that drop-off right there? That was really early in trading. Something really spooked the markets about Target. But notice that once it had dropped like that, that attracted buyers of the stock. So that's why you're seeing that rally off the low right there. But it didn't rally enough to correct that drop fully up there at the beginning of the day, of the trading day. So I'm not sure what's spooking Target, investors in Target right now. But going on to another one, which is a staple of the consumer market, is Walmart, WMT. And it's up better today than Target was. But notice again, that's kind of odd. I don't know why this was, but do you see how, just like Target, it had a big sell-off early in trading, and then it rallied. Now, Walmart rallied enough that it kind of came back fully from the drop-off, unlike Target. But still, something in retail investors kind of spooked early this morning, and then once it had dropped enough, then it was sort of like a bargain, so investors came back in and bought on it. But those are two that we could have a look at. Now, on the high-tech side, Microsoft has been disrespected quite a bit lately, and you saw that. And it's still sliding now. And that's a little bit of a concern because Microsoft is trying to come out with positive press releases and all that kind of stuff. And it seems not to be doing much good. Interestingly, there was an influential publication that put up an article, I think it was late last night or early this morning, that said that the era of Office 365 is coming to an end. And that is a little bit troubling because that, I mean, that's like Microsoft's bread and butter. It's free cash flow just pours in from everyone subscribing to the Microsoft Office 365. So if they're getting rid of that, and heaven knows why, then that is going to spook investors in Microsoft quite a bit, and they'll want to avoid it. And of course, you can go over here. Now, let me show you Ford. Just that Ford has been a basket case for a long time. It has this trading range from about 9 to 12 or so that it has been in forever, and it just can't seem to fight its way out of that. And notice how it's just been plunging today, again, like usual. But let me show you a five-year on Ford. It had this rally back here at in 2021, 2020. And then ever since then, look how it just kind of bounces in this tight range. It just never goes way up. It never goes way down. It just stays flat for all intents and purposes. And it's sort of one of those where there's no reason to invest in a company like this because, I mean, it's got this long history of just bouncing around in this tight trading range. But on the other hand, we can look at GM and see what they're up to. And they're up a little bit. They're not up bad. It's not bad. But 0.64% with a beta that's that high on a day when the S&P 500 is up almost 1.5%. That's not a good sign there. Looking at its five-year, you can see that it's very different from Ford's. Whereas Ford just kind of was high and then it dropped down and just floats, GM is actually in a trending upward kind of phase. Now, I want to just tell you a little old technical thing that is done. It has to do with taking one of these charts like this, and you draw a rough line through the tops, and then you draw a rough line through the troughs. Now, if they're going in the same direction, up or down, that is oftentimes a sign that that will continue for some time. Now, if the ups are going up, but the downs are going the other way, that's a bad sign. That's something that technical traders who look at charts and things like that concerns them. But in this case, the fact that GM seems to have this several years of up of rising tops and rising bottoms, and that is considered by technical traders to be a very good sign for a stock as a longer-term kind of investment. Now, if I were to look at the P/E ratio of this company, of it, notice that it is actually undervalued right now. Remember I said 30, about 30 is a rule of thumb for the P/E ratio. This one is enough below 30 that tells us that the price is probably a little low and that it's still got upside potential over the next year or so. So it's just something you can kind of keep your eye on for a while just to say, okay, maybe this is not a bad investment, although that beta is telling us that you'd have to be willing to eat some risk to put up with that kind of stuff. But if I were to look just real quick to remind you, and I did this on purpose, calculator, let me look at the holding period return real quick for this one. So what I would do is I would take that projected out 1 year, $95.04, 95.04, and then I would divide that by the price right now, 77.02, then minus 1, and then times by 100 to turn into a percent, and then I would add in the dividend, which is not really spectacular, 0.94%. And what I get, well, that's a year holding period return of almost of 24.33%. That is a darn good one-year holding period return. Almost 25% on your money, earning almost 25% on your money. So yeah, even though it has a high beta, it does have a high expected return, at least over the next year. So that would kind of tell us there's a couple of reasons here that are sort of independent of each other. That technical analysis of the trending tops and bottoms of the, and also we have this 1 year holding period return projection of 24, more than 24%. Those are the kind of things that you kind of begin to put together and say, and you got a PE ratio that's below 30, that's enough evidence, at least for some investors, that they might want to consider buying a few shares of GM, just for the heck of it, because it's got a lot of positives in these numbers that are giving us a buy signal. It's something to think about, and that's kind of a lot of what we do, what I'm trying to get you to do in this class, is look at the numbers, look at the information that is reliable, and make a decision for yourself. Obviously, stock markets are like casinos, but in this one, unlike a casino, you can actually know whether or not a table is worth throwing some money on to make a play. Okay, that's enough of that for a while. Let me finish up with stocks for you, a stock valuation. Now, in your files, and I want you to bring this up because it looks different from what I showed you on Monday a little bit. I did a few enhancements for it. We'll go down here and we'll pull stock valuation up. Stock valuation. Download it. Oops, that's not the right one. That's some valuation problems, by the way. You have some to practice on for this section. Apologies for that. I grabbed the wrong one. Stock valuation. Spreadsheets. I got to go to spreadsheets. But yeah, in the top layer, there's a set of practice problems. I'm glad I did that because I would have forgotten about it. Stock valuation. Downloads. Okay, good. And here we go. Now, I've changed this around a little bit. The first one is just preferred stock. I would do that as the first problem on a quiz, the first problem of these of this kind, you know, numerical stock valuations. So preferred stock, I would give you a problem. In this case, I've got, remember that you're not going to get a growth of the dividend. So it's just going to be the dividend divided by the required rate of return. And this is the discount rate. Our required rate of return is 8.75%. Now, the dividend rate is 5.65% of par value. And you put in the par value here. The first thing that it will do is calculate the dividend. It will take the dividend rate times the par value. You don't have to do that. It does it for you. So in this case, if you have a preferred share of preferred stock with a $50 par value and its dividend is 5.65%, then the first thing it will do is calculate what the dollar value of that dividend is. You don't have to do that. It works hard, so you don't have to. And then it goes ahead and calculates the preferred stock price. So all you have to do in this one is just key in, if you see preferred stock in a problem, you go right to this first worksheet in the spreadsheet. That's all you do is key those numbers in. And then it finishes up for you. It takes care of it. Now, this is the old, that dividend model from last time. I've made it so that you could have, all it does is say, okay, you're going to buy a stock, you're going to dump it in a few years. While you have it, you get these dividends. And when you dump it, you're going to sell it for this price. Remember that the terminal price that you is the horizon value. And all it does, and you give it a discount rate, and all this will do is take the present value of the dividends, take the present value of the selling price, and give you your answer. That would be the second problem I would give you on a quiz or the final exam. Just key in those dividends, key in the selling price, and you can do this for, I've made this model so it goes up to 7 years. So you could have, you could be holding it for 7 years, 2 years, it'll get you your answer, whichever, however many years it is, as long as it's 7 or fewer years. So that'll take care of that one for you. Now the third one is where you have a stock that has a constant growth dividend. In other words, this is an old company. It stabilized its dividends, and it is growing them year over year at a constant rate from the get-go. And in this one, that would be my third problem for you. All you do is put in whatever the required rate of return is, the discount rate, and then you put in the growth rate of the dividends, and you put in the dividend that it has just paid. And you'll get your answer for the stock price. Three numbers is all you have to put in. And the key will be, if you see a problem like this, it will start with somewhere in the first line that grows at a constant rate. You'll see those words. It just paid a dividend, and that grows at a constant rate for the foreseeable future. If you see those words, you know where I'm, what I am expecting you to use. It will be that constant growth rate model right there. Now comes the last one. And this is a horizon value model. I mean, I taught this for so many years, and if I had you longer on the subject, it would begin to soak into almost all of you. But it seems almost confusing at first. And so I create this so that I've got one for 5 years and one for 7 years. I can't do a general for just any number of years because I'd have to use a macro. And unfortunately, macros set our university server on its toes having a fit because they think macros are viruses in spreadsheets. So I have to do just one. So in other words, I would test you on one that was a 5 year or a 7 year dividend. Now I'm going to do right here, a constant growth perpetuity. The general formula, I gave you one the last time. The price at zero is the dividend at zero times one plus the growth rate over R minus G for the stock. Okay, that's actually not the general model of the growth rate. You could put this for any time in the future. So the actual equation is, let me get another marker, find one that's a little darker here. The price at any given time, T, in the future, whatever, or now, is going to be the dividend one period previously times 1 plus G over R minus G. So in other words, I could find in the fifth year, I could find the price of the stock in the fifth year if I have the dividend in the fourth year. Because I'd grow it one period and then divide it by R minus G. So here's what's going on. And I'll have to look up here to do this. Okay. AVY, common stock. Will pay a dividend next year of $1.10. A year later, it will not pay a dividend. In year three, it will pay a dividend. Of $1.25 in year four, it will pay a dividend of $1. And in year five, it will pay a dividend of $1.40. At which time the dividend will grow thereafter at a constant rate of 2.5%. Of 2.5% per year. The required rate of return is 7.80%. Now, what's happening here is that I'm describing an unlevered cash flow. So you have to take each part of that as a present value on its own. But there at year five, it turns into a constant growth perpetuity. In other words, it's going to grow at a constant rate forever after that. So if I know from that formula, I can find the horizon value at year five because after that, it's a constant growth perpetuity. So I can use that formula there. So in other words, the price of that stock in year six is the dividend in year five grown one period over R minus G. No, I'm sorry, the price of that stock in year five is the dividend in year six, D5 times 1 plus G. That's what the Excel sheet does, is it calculates it automatically. You see what's happening. Let me show you, just to make sure that you know what the moving parts of this are. I give it these dividends here, and I give it the year 5 dividend. But then what it does is say, oh, the year 6 dividend would be 1 plus 0.025 times the fifth dividend. But then once it has the year 6 dividend, it can calculate the horizon value at year 5. Because what it does is it takes D, the fifth year dividend, grows it one period, and then divides it by R minus G. That's what it's doing. And you don't really have to know that much about what it's doing, but it does help if for the theoretical side of it. But what you're doing here is actually just keying in the dividends and then tell it the dividends it gives you. So in the problem you see, you'll see 5 or 7 dividends. And then you just put those in where they belong. In this one, it's 5. In this one, I've made 1 for 7. So your problem would be either 5 or 7. And then from there, it takes, you have to put in the discount rate, the required rate of return, and the growth rate. It will automatically calculate the horizon value at year 5, what happened there. It's doing that for you. That's what it's doing there in that cell B7. It's finding the dividend at year six, and then using that dividend and dividing it by R minus G to get the price of the stock at year 5. And then it takes the present value of the dividends, it takes the present value of that terminal value, that horizon value, and it gives you the price of the stock. That's how it works. That's how it's doing it. It's just taking the finding these dividends, get the dividends in there, and then grow that last dividend one more period, and using that one to calculate the fifth year horizon value of the stock. Now in the 7-year model, it's just doing the same thing. You give it the 7 years of dividends. It automatically calculates one more dividend and then uses that one to get the horizon value back at the 7th year. You don't have to think about the mechanics of it as long as you put in the numbers and try your best not to ever touch those ones in the peach and the blue. They are doing the work. If you look at this horizon value here, what it's doing is, if you look at it, it's taking the dividend at year 9, and then it's dividing it by R minus G to get the price of the stock at year 7. That's all it's doing. And then it just adds up this mess of all these present values. It takes the present value of that cash flow stream, and then it gives you your price of the stock. That's the intrinsic price right now. If you can remember how to do all of that, you're in business. That is the entire scope of stock valuation as far as the math that I would have you do on the next quiz, not the one today, but the next quiz and on the final exam. If you can just get the numbers in where they belong, you've got a winner on the quantitative part of the test. You've got all the pieces for the stock valuation. Now, one last thing, just to make one quick note. Notice that the dividend model is actually a simplistic version of horizon, of this mess of the horizon value, except that in the simple dividend model, I give you the horizon value. You don't calculate it, you just get it. But this is actually just a simple version of the horizon value model. But in the horizon value model, it calculates that horizon value. In the dividend model, I just give it to you. That's all. So I could have a problem. Any problem that I do here is actually just a simple version of one of these. Now remember that these are two different, they're the same thing, except that I did one model for 5 years and another model for 7 years here. So any problem I would give you on a quiz or an exam would be either a 5-year horizon value model or a 7-year horizon value model. But in either case, you shouldn't have to do any particularly complicated arithmetic in it. It does it for you. And that's the power of Excel. And I remind you that 5 days until your certifications are due for Excel. So right now, the first thing I want you to do is get your attendance radar finished up. And then once that's done, at 1:20, the quiz will open. I'll give you the password. Get the quiz done, and then that's all I will have for you today. And I thank you.